It's time once again for the Disability News Program on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, John Curry. October is Disability Employment Awareness Month, and we've been recognizing that by featuring an article that highlights the value of people with disabilities in the workplace. This time, it's a piece from Accenture entitled, Companies That Lead in Disability Inclusion Outperform Peers Financially, reveals new research from Accenture. But before that piece, here's a piece from the BBC entitled, City Streets Shocking and Scary for Blind People. It was written by Georgia Levy Collins. Leeds City Center is shocking and scary for people with visual impairments to navigate, according to counselors. City counselors took to the streets wearing SIM specs, spectacles that simulate sight conditions. The West Yorkshire Sight Loss Council organized the event to raise awareness of the challenges faced by partially sighted and blind people. A Leeds City Council spokesperson said, as part of the authority's commitment to inclusivity, disability access groups had been consulted on recent changes to the layouts of the streets. Floating bus stops were among the issues encountered by the councilors during the tour. Also known as bus bypass, floating bus stops are separated from the main pavement by a cycle path. The paths run behind the stops, forcing people to cross an active cycle lane to flag down their bus. Fear of going out. Ian Mitchell, senior engagement manager at the West Yorkshire Sight Loss Council, was born with albinism, nystagmus, and photosensitivity. He said it was important council members took a walk in his shoes and hoped this would inform future planning decisions. Street furniture and obstacles really do impact on the movement and confidence of blind and partially sighted people accessing their local communities, he said. The risk of falling and tripping over obstacles can create a fear of going out to do the everyday things, including to see friends, go to work, or to the shops. We want to be able to access Leeds City Center without fear and enjoy the wonderful city that we are proud of. Sight Loss Councils, founded by the Thomas Pocklington Trust, are regional groups led by blind and partially sighted people. Councillor Stuart Golton was among those taking part in the exercise. He wore SIM specs replicating tunnel vision, which means peripheral sight is blacked out. I felt quite anxious when the surface changed, he said. I wasn't quite sure if it was indicating I was coming to a crossing or a pothole. Councillor Hannah Bithell, who chairs the Infrastructure, Investment, and Inclusive Growth Scrutiny Board, described the feeling of walking with diminished vision as daunting. I always think of the pavements here as pretty well maintained. It is quite new, but it is a shock and a bit scary. I honestly feel like anything could whack me in the side at any moment. Anna Tyler, chair of the Royal National Institute of Blind People, praised the counselors for taking part. She told the BBC, I really think that kind of immersive experience, there's nothing like it to give policymakers a taste of what it's like to navigate the city center if you can't see. I hope it really informs the way transport systems are planned. A spokesperson for Leeds City Council said, The Leeds Public Transport Investment Program was developed with a wide range of community groups. This includes the Disability Hub, Leeds Society for the Deaf and Blind, and the Physical and Sensory Impairment Network. As part of our commitment to inclusivity, the Disability Hub and the Access and Use Ability Group had the opportunity to review and comment on a range of materials, such as pavers, drainage features, crossings, curbs, and cycle tracks. This next article comes from the New York Times. It's entitled, Six Takeaways from the Christopher Reeve Documentary, Superman. The new film chronicles the life of the paralyzed star, covering his friendship with Robin Williams and gut-wrenching details about his care and family. By Milena Ryzik. The documentary Superman, the Christopher Reeve story, traces the life of the Juilliard-trained actor who found megastardom in the 1970s and 80s playing Superman, and in 1995 as a different kind of hero after an accident left him paralyzed from the neck down. It features never-before-seen footage of Reeve, who died in 2004 at 52, chronicling his early days, his pivotal friendship with his Juilliard roommate, Robin Williams, and his transformation in a wheelchair and on a ventilator into a leading disability and research advocate. Friends like Glenn Close, Susan Sarandon, Whoopi Goldberg, and John Kerry offer their observations. Disability rights activists do too. It's a thought-provoking tearjerker. It also doubles as a family movie, showing Reeve in his role as a father to his three children, Matthew Reeve and Alexandra Reeve Givens from an earlier relationship that he fled at the height of his fame, and Will Reeve, his son with his wife Dana Reeve. With unwavering support, she largely gave up her career as a singer and actress to care for her husband. She died of cancer in 2006, just 18 months after him, leaving behind their son, then 13. The compounded tragedy is leavened by the hope that Reeve embodied, especially with the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, which has invested $140 million in the search for a cure for spinal cord paralysis. The film, which arrived in theaters 20 years after Christopher Reeve's death, almost to the day, chronicles their determination and doesn't flinch from the darkest moments, including money worries and the relentlessness of day-to-day caregiving. The unvarnished approach and the timing, with Reeve's children having reached solid footing as adults, led the siblings to agree to the project after years of turning down other offers, said Will Reeve, 32, a correspondent for ABC News and a lookalike to his father. They hoped their home movies and archival material would provide a deeper meaning and greater texture to his story, he said, and remind folks of the fullness of life that one can have, despite whatever catastrophic injury they may suffer, whatever disability they may have. In a video interview from London, where they're based, the filmmakers Ian Van Hout and Peter Etedgui discussed their rationale for not putting Reeve on a pedestal, as Etedgui described it. It was really important to show how someone who you might think of as being somehow perfect, the ideal hero, how they experience the same insecurities, the same family issues that the rest of us might, he said. Here are some takeaways from the film. For his father, even Superman didn't measure up. Reeve was born in New York into a privileged milieu. After his parents' divorce, his mother, Barbara Lamb, a journalist, moved with him and his younger brother to Princeton, New Jersey. His father, F.D. Reeve, was a formidable scholar and poet who was charismatic and athletic, and also aloof and domineering. Pretty soon in the research, we had this sense of Chris being haunted by the figure of his father, Etedgui said. In the documentary, Christopher Reeve says, "I thought I could never do anything to impress him," he adds. "It was difficult to be myself, or literally breathe easy, when he was around." The senior Reeve was briefly excited when his son was cast as Superman, until he realized that Richard Donner's 1978 film was based on the comic book character and not the 1903 George Bernard Shaw drama Man and Superman. But Reeve was like his father in some ways. Christopher Reeve was also a multifaceted athlete. "Doing things with my dad, it was all about activity and action," Matthew Reeve says in the film. "Riding bikes, playing soccer, skiing, swimming, horse riding with my sister." He was an intense guy, Matthew adds. You could not fail or quit. It was like you try, you fail, you try harder. Reeve had Matthew and his sister Alexandra with Gay Exton, a British modeling agent he met while filming Superman in London. They never married, and Reeve wasn't always a reliable parent. The day after Matthew was born, he left to go skiing in France. Eventually, he moved to the United States to singlehood and stardom. He abandoned Gay, and he abandoned his two kids at a certain point, Etegui said. Reeve continued to see his children on school breaks. But when he became paralyzed after falling off a horse in a riding competition, his connection to his family, including his father, changed and deepened, his children and Exton say in the documentary. Robin Williams was like a brother. One mainstay, his friendship with Williams. They called themselves brothers and were godfathers to each other's children. Williams, the comedian and Oscar winner, was one of the first to visit Reeve in the hospital after his accident. He did so in character, as a Russian proctologist. Being able to laugh then, Reeve later said, strengthened his will to survive. Williams, who had Lewy body dementia, died by suicide in 2014. In the film, Close, a friend of both actors, says, I always felt if Chris was still around, Robin would still be alive. That line drew gasps during the production, the filmmakers said, and they struggled with whether to include it, fearing it might offend some intimates. But it also showed the depth of the bond between two men who had both known darkness amid great success. Even the Man of Steel battled insurance. One surprising thread in the documentary was the Reeves family's concerns about money. Audiences might imagine that a star of his caliber was set for life. The first Superman film earned nearly $1.5 billion in today's dollars, and he did three sequels. And the Reeves were definitely much more secure than most. But at the time of his accident, he was doing TV movies to pay the bills, a breadwinner whose career was in decline. His round-the-clock care at home cost $400,000 annually, with a $1.2 million lifetime insurance cap, as Dana Reeve discovered, while he was in rehabilitation. Williams and his wife at the time, Marcia Williams, stepped in frequently as financial benefactors. Etegui said they even had a generator installed at huge expense in Reeve's home in Pond Ridge, New York, in case the power failed, threatening his ventilator. And while Reeve continued to make a living, writing books, directing, and acting, he also lobbied Congress to raise lifetime insurance caps. That Oscars speech was hard won. Reeves' emotional appearance at the 1996 Oscars, less than a year after his accident, was a personal and social turning point. He had surpassed medical expectations from the start, emerging to more than a minute-long standing ovation from a tearful audience. He appeared to bask in the welcome. The documentary details the arduous months of preparation and logistics it took to get him across the country and onto that stage at not insignificant risk to his health. Oftentimes, in my dad's wheelchair, if he went over a bump too fast, it could cause his body to spasm, Will Reeves said. And he, because he had no control over his body, would not be able to either stop it or rearrange himself back into his original position. There was a big fear that he would have a spasm or a pop-off with the ventilator or some other injury-related issue in the seconds before he was to appear on the stage alone in front of 2 billion people around the world. He did have a spasm as he was leaving his dressing room, but aides helped him. His speech, introducing a montage of movies about social causes, was also one of the rare instances at the time when a prominent person with a disability was given that kind of platform. It was a complete game-changing moment, Bonhoeft said. He was able to create a memory that has mattered to a lot of people for decades, Will Reeves said. But it was also important to him personally to prove to himself that he was capable of getting out in the world. Literally, something as basic as just doing stuff, traveling, and not being confined to his own home for the rest of his life. The family has embraced a painful but proud legacy. Will Reeve was barely three when his father was paralyzed. He has watched YouTube clips of his dad on talk shows and interviews with his parents. I, over the years, go and revisit those just to spend a little more time with my folks, he said. But much of the footage from before the accident, when his father was in full flight, as Will put it, was new to him. So seeing the movie has been a joy and a nostalgic gift, he said. His experience of Reeve as a parent was complex. I didn't get to know him in the way that he would have wanted me to, he said, and I lament that. But what I did get, he added, was a fully emotionally and spiritually present father who expressed his love and support and encouragement for me daily. I knew then that he was proud of me, he said. My mom told me the same. Nothing went unsaid. They knew how precious that time was. Along with his siblings, Will Reeve is involved in the foundation that carries his parents' names. His experience also gives him a perspective that draws people in. For most of my life, people have shared their stories of struggle and of heartbreak and of tragedy with me, he said. Their stories of inspiration and motivation. That came from my parents and their story. And that's so gratifying, he added, because I get to talk about my parents, which brings them into the present with me. They've been gone for like 20 years, and they still have an effect on people. That matters a lot to me. It's an honor. This next article comes from the University of Rochester Medical Center. The title, New Research Offers Hope for Preventing Age-Related Blindness. Age-related macular degeneration, AMD, is a leading cause of irreversible vision loss in the United States. Despite existing treatments, the underlying causes of this disease and effective therapies remain elusive. New research published in the journal Developmental Cell provides important insight into the cellular mechanisms behind AMD and offers potential avenues for new treatments. Current treatments for AMD have limited efficacy and often come with significant side effects, said Ruchira Singh, Ph.D., with the University of Rochester Flaum Eye Institute and Center for Visual Sciences and lead author of the study. Our research aims to identify novel therapeutic targets that could potentially halt the progression of this disease. TIMP3, key protein in development of AMD. The study utilized human stem cells to model AMD, overcoming the limitations of previous research using animal models. By examining genes associated with both AMD and rarer inherited forms of blindness called macular dystrophies, the researchers identified a key protein involved in the early stages of the disease. The retinal pigment epithelium, RPE, a layer of cells at the back of the eye, play a crucial role in AMD. Over time, deposits of lipids and proteins, known as drusen, accumulate in the RPE. These deposits are often an early indicator of AMD. The researchers discovered that a protein called tissue inhibitor of metalloproteinases 3, TIMP3, is overproduced in AMD. TIMP3 inhibits the activity of enzymes called matrix metalloproteinases, MMPs, which are essential for eye health. Impaired MMP activity leads to increase in another enzyme which promotes inflammation and the formation of drusen. Targeting inflammation, a new approach to prevent drusen formation. By using a small molecule inhibitor to block the activity of the enzyme associated with inflammation, the researchers were able to reduce drusen formation in their model, suggesting that targeting this pathway could be a promising strategy for preventing AMD. Cellular pathways involved in drusen formation are key drivers of AMD progression, said Dr. Singh. If we can halt the accumulation of drusen, we may be able to prevent the disease from progressing to a stage where vision loss occurs. This research offers hope for developing new treatments that could significantly improve the lives of millions of people affected by AMD. And now an article from the Disability Scoop entitled, States Told Not to Skimp on Medicaid Coverage for Kids with IDD, by Michelle Diament. Medicaid programs nationwide are supposed to offer a basic menu of services to children with developmental disabilities, but some states have been skirting those responsibilities. Now, federal officials are amping up pressure to comply. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services recently issued new guidance detailing what are known as early and periodic screening, diagnostic, and treatment, or EPSDT requirements. The mandate is designed to ensure that children participating in Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program have access to a broad array of prevention, diagnostic, and treatment services. For kids with developmental disabilities, that can mean having access to everything from well child visits and dental care to mental and behavioral health services, medical specialists, and much more. The 57-page letter to state health officials outlines strategies and best practices for meeting the EPSDT standard. The implementation of the EPSDT requirements in partnership with states, is vital to the tens of millions of children in the nation who are covered by Medicaid and CHIP. We'll keep working until every child can get the care they need when they need it, said CMS Administrator Chiquita Brooks-LeSure. In particular, the guidance notes that EPSDT requires states and managed care plans to maintain an adequate number of providers, including pediatric specialists and children's hospitals. They also must have clear procedures to allow children access to out-of-network or out-of-state providers as needed, so that children with disabilities or other complex health needs can have prompt access to medically necessary services. For children whose medical needs cannot be met by in-state providers and for whom the state has identified an out-of-state provider to deliver medically necessary services, states should screen and enroll out-of-state providers within an abbreviated time frame to help ensure that children can access care in a timely fashion, the letter states. In 2022, Congress directed CMS to issue guidance about the expectations under EPSDT as part of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. Disability advocates called the move much needed. Kim Machino, Vice President of Public Policy at the Autism Society of America, said that there's growing concern that the EPSDT benefit is not being uniformly followed across managed care plans and states. Often, she said, families and healthcare providers don't know that they are entitled to various services. These requirements include access to services in the least restrictive setting, mandatory assessment of physical, developmental, and mental health, and paying for out-of-state services if not readily available, said Machino, who noted that cultural and linguistic barriers, as well as bureaucratic hurdles like paperwork and lengthy approval processes, also pose issues. For years, Autism Speaks worked to ensure that states complied with a requirement that they cover treatments like applied behavior analysis for children with autism under EPSDT, following a 2014 CMS bulletin telling state Medicaid programs that they must offer medically necessary diagnostic and treatment services to kids who are on the spectrum. Nonetheless, the advocacy group now says that many families continue to struggle to secure access to treatments like ABA therapy, floor time, and TEA-CCH. There isn't a single federal bill or action that will fully address all of the challenges experienced by autistic children and their families in accessing care. However, we believe this guidance will strengthen EPSDT requirements and compliance and help enhance access to quality care and services for many children with autism across the country, said David Sitkovsky, Vice President of Advocacy at Autism Speaks. Now, also from the Disability Scoop, Uber launches improvements to boost accessibility, by Sean Heasley. Uber is rolling out new features to assist riders with disabilities and is adding training for drivers to help better accommodate them. The ride-sharing company said this month that it will offer riders who are deaf or hard of hearing, as well as those who are blind or who have low vision, the option to self-identify on the app and set communication preferences. Riders will be able to choose if they wish to be contacted by chat, phone, or both. In cases where riders select chat, for example, drivers will not be given the ability to call them, Uber said. If a rider chooses to share this information, their driver will be notified of how the rider self-identifies and their communication preferences after they accept a trip request and at pickup, Chris Yoon, product manager for equity at Uber, said in announcing the updates. With these new features, our hope is to create a more efficient way of communicating needs and preferences for both riders and drivers from pickup to drop-off. Meanwhile, Uber said that it will send all of its drivers an educational video this month about service animals that was created in partnership with blind and service animal advocacy organizations and training centers. This video includes information about the vital role of service animals, tips for transporting them, and a reminder that it is against Uber's policy and illegal to deny someone a ride because of their service animal, Yoon said. Uber also said that it is piloting a self-identification option for riders with service animals. During the pilot phase, a small group of volunteers in the U.S. and Canada will be able to choose to automatically let drivers know in advance that they are accompanied by a service animal. Information gleaned from the test group will inform future work to improve the Uber experience for riders with service animals, the company said. Now let me remind you that this is the Disability News Program on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, John Curry. And now, in recognition of Disability Employment Awareness Month, here's that piece from Accenture entitled, "Companies That Lead in Disability Inclusion Outperform Peers Financially," reveals new research from Accenture. Companies that lead in disability inclusion drive more revenue, net income, and profit, according to a new research report from Accenture, New York Stock Exchange ACN, in partnership with Disability IN and the American Association of People with Disabilities, AAPD. Building on the 2018 landmark report on disability inclusion at work in the United States, the follow-up research titled "The Disability Inclusion Imperative" explores disability inclusion amid major technological advances, changes in geopolitical dynamics, and the effects of a global pandemic across 346 companies in the U.S. These companies participated in the Disability Equality Index, DEI, a leading global benchmarking tool that scores businesses on their disability inclusion policies and practices. Disability inclusion is a topic close to my heart, and it is imperative both from a business and a societal aspect to build an accessible, inclusive environment where all our people can belong and thrive, said Jill Kramer, Chief Marketing and Communications Officer, Accenture, and co-chair for the Cross-Industry Coalition of Chief Marketing Officers, CMOs, and Chief Communications Officers, CCOs, to advance accessibility in marketing powered by disability, IN. The report identifies that over the last 5 years, the business case for hiring persons with disabilities has become even stronger. Specifically, companies that have led on key disability inclusion criteria over that time saw 1.6 times more revenue, 2.6 times more net income, and 2 times more economic profit than other companies in the DEI. Further, leaders are more likely to outperform industry peers in productivity by 25%. Since 2018, the number of people with disabilities in the workforce has swelled from 29% to 37%, with most progress occurring since February 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic. This increase can be attributed to increased work opportunities at home, making it easier for people with disabilities to participate in the workforce and an increased awareness and understanding of digital accessibility and inclusion in the hiring process. Additionally, newer and emerging technologies are excellent sources to advance disability inclusion, including AI-powered platforms. For too long, people with disabilities, individuals who are perfectly qualified and overwhelmingly willing to work, face enormous barriers to being offered a job, said Ted Kennedy Jr., disability rights attorney, former Connecticut State Senator, and immediate past chair of the AAPD board. Accenture's recent report provides compelling evidence that disability inclusion actually accelerates business performance, brand loyalty, and shareholder returns. Additional Accenture research has showed that 76% of employees with disabilities do not fully disclose their disabilities at work. Further, the 2023 DEI report found that only 4.6% of employees self-identify their disability status with employers. When the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, began requiring companies to provide a human capital overview in their filings, voluntary mentions of disability inclusion at work are notable. Organizations can ensure that disability inclusion remains a fundamental aspect of their overall sustainability and responsible business practices by incorporating ESG principles into their accountability frameworks and public sharing outcomes. Through the research, Accenture and Disability IN have developed a framework to help business leaders become more intentional about disability inclusion. Number one, access. Organizations must remove barriers and provide equal access to employment opportunities for individuals with disabilities, including recruitment, hiring, and career advancement. Number two, awareness. Leaders must raise awareness about disabilities so organizations can foster a culture of empathy and respect, challenge stereotypes, and promote a more inclusive mindset among employees. Number three, advocacy. organizations must create an environment for individuals to feel comfortable disclosing their disabilities and forming employee networks and help amplify their voices and ensure their perspectives are heard. Number 4, action. By integrating various disability inclusion initiatives under a single umbrella, organizations can ensure that they work in harmony to create a more accessible and equitable workplace. Number 5, accountability. Organizations must be able to measure their progress and share what they learn to demonstrate their commitment and dedication to improving disability inclusion. People with disabilities are a tremendous source of talent and innovation, as well as market share. Last year, 485 companies leveraged the DEI to benchmark their inclusion efforts and build for sustainable long-term performance, said Jill Houghton, President and CEO, Disability IN. The business case is stronger than ever, with companies achieving 1.6 times more revenue, 2.6 times more net income, and 2 times more economic profit. We encourage companies to measure their progress and use the data to identify tangible ways to advance disability inclusion across their enterprise. To learn more about inclusion and diversity at Accenture, visit accenture.com/inclusion. About the research. Research for the Disability Inclusion Imperative Report is based on approximately 346 unique respondents of the Disability Equality Index between 2015 and 2022. In partnership with Disability IN and the American Association of People with Disabilities, we analyzed 3 measures of financial performance: profitability, revenues and net income, productivity, revenue per employee, and value creation, economic profit, alongside the voice of the employee, Glassdoor reviews, and the voice of the company, 10K filings. And now, an opinion piece from MSN by Lisa Leitner entitled, 10 Ways Trump's Policies Will Undermine Disability Rights: Serious Threats to Accessibility and Inclusion. As the 2024 presidential election approaches, many individuals are considering their options at the polls. The choices candidates make can significantly impact various communities, especially those with disabilities. Examining the reasons why disabled people might reconsider their support for a specific candidate is essential for informed decision-making. In light of recent events and statements, some argue that a candidate's track record can deeply affect the lives of disabled individuals. It is crucial for voters to evaluate how a politician's policies and actions align with their needs and rights. Understanding these factors can help ensure that disabled voters make choices that best represent their interests and well-being. Number 1, lack of empathy in policies. Many people feel that Trump's policies show a lack of empathy toward disabled individuals. His approach often focuses more on economic growth than on the needs of those with disabilities. For instance, he has supported cuts to programs that many disabled Americans rely on for support. This includes potential reductions in health care funding, which directly impacts their quality of life. Furthermore, his rhetoric at times minimizes the struggles faced by disabled individuals. This can alienate voters who are seeking representation and understanding of their issues. In discussions about disability rights, Trump has not consistently shown a commitment to fostering an inclusive environment. His policies often reflect a disregard for the unique challenges that disabled people encounter daily. The perception of his lack of empathy is significant. It highlights concerns about whether his administration would advocate for meaningful changes in the lives of disabled citizens. Cuts to Social Security benefits. Cuts to Social Security benefits are a significant concern for many disabled individuals. These benefits provide essential financial support, especially for those who cannot work. During his presidency, Trump made comments suggesting a willingness to review entitlement programs, including Social Security. His approach raised alarms among advocates for disabled people who rely on their benefits for their survival. The Republican platform states a commitment not to cut these programs. However, Trump's past statements create uncertainty about the future of Social Security if he were reelected. Many experts warn that proposed changes could weaken these vital supports. Cuts to Social Security could lead to financial hardship for millions. Disabled individuals need assurance that their benefits will remain stable. Voting for candidates who show clear support for these programs is crucial for their welfare. 3. Undermining disability rights protections. The Trump administration took steps that many believe weakened disability rights protections. In 2020, a report showed a significant voting gap between people with disabilities and those without. This gap raised concerns about accessibility and representation in the political process. Recent legal changes could threaten federal regulations that safeguard the rights of people with disabilities. Experts worry that court decisions may lead to fewer protections in areas such as health care and community living. These moves can create additional barriers for disabled individuals. Limited access to necessary services can impact their quality of life and ability to participate fully in society. The disability community has faced ongoing challenges. Advocates stress the importance of maintaining strong protections to ensure equal rights for everyone. Number 4. Failure to address healthcare needs. Many disabled individuals rely on accessible healthcare to manage their conditions. Under Trump's leadership, concerns arose about the stability of healthcare programs that serve this community. Changes to the Affordable Care Act led to uncertainty about coverage. Program cuts and legislation put many vulnerable citizens at risk. Disabled people often face unique healthcare challenges. They need tailored plans that address their specific needs. Unfortunately, Trump's policies have not prioritized these essential services. Access to quality healthcare is a crucial factor in voting decisions for disabled individuals. Without adequate support, many are left struggling. The lack of a clear strategy for healthcare leaves them questioning their vote. Number 5. Negative rhetoric toward disabled individuals. Donald Trump's history includes instances of negative rhetoric aimed at individuals with disabilities. This has raised concerns among many in the disability community. His comments about a disabled reporter are often cited. Many viewed these remarks as mocking and disrespectful. Such behavior can lead to feelings of alienation among disabled voters. Furthermore, Trump's policies have sometimes reflected a lack of understanding of disability issues. This has made some feel that their needs are not a priority. Many disabled individuals seek leaders who represent their interests and values. Rhetoric that belittles or dismisses them can deepen distrust in political figures. Number 6. Ignoring disability activists' concerns. Many disability activists have raised critical concern about policies and attitudes from Trump and his administration. These voices are essential in advocating for the rights of disabled individuals. Disabled people often face challenges that require attention from leaders. Ignoring these activists can lead to policies that do not account for their needs. In recent years, the voices of disability advocates have become vital in shaping discussions around accessibility and rights. Dismissing their expertise undermines progress. By failing to engage with these advocates, potential solutions to issues like healthcare and employment discrimination may be overlooked. This neglect can have real consequences for millions. Number 7. Appointments of anti-disability judges. The appointment of judges can have a significant impact on disability rights. Recent selections made by Trump have raised concerns among advocates. Many of these judges have shown a lack of support for the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. Judges who oppose disability protections may rule against individuals seeking necessary accommodations. Their decisions can limit access to health care, education, and public services for disabled individuals. Moreover, such judges might not fully understand the challenges faced by disabled Americans. This could lead to unjust rulings that harm the rights of this community. The potential for bias raises alarms about fair treatment in the legal system. Therefore, the implications of these appointments are critical for disabled voters deciding who to support. Number 8. Restricting voting accessibility. Many disabled people face significant barriers when trying to vote. Restrictions can make it harder for them to access polling places and use voting machines. Recent laws in various states have rolled back improvements made during the pandemic. This has impacted thousands of voters with disabilities. Accessibility in voting is crucial for ensuring everyone can participate in elections. When laws limit these options, it disproportionately affects those with disabilities. Polling places may still lack ramps or accessible voting machines. This can prevent many from casting their votes without difficulty. Voting should be a right for all, but many struggle due to unnecessary barriers. Policies that restrict voting accessibility undermine this fundamental principle. Number 9, slashing disability employment programs. Cuts to disability employment programs can have serious effects. These programs play a crucial role in helping disabled individuals find and keep jobs. When funding is reduced, less support is available for job training and placement services. This makes it harder for disabled people to gain meaningful employment. Disabled Americans face significant barriers in the job market. Reducing resources for employment programs can widen the gap between them and non-disabled peers. Access to equal job opportunities is essential for independence. Slashing these programs undermines that goal and limits economic growth for everyone. Policies that support disability employment should be a priority. This ensures a more inclusive workforce and helps disabled individuals thrive in their careers. Number 10, rejecting climate change initiatives affecting disability community. Climate change has significant impact on all communities, especially those with disabilities. Many disabled individuals rely on supportive services that can be disrupted by extreme weather events. When leaders reject climate change initiatives, they ignore the specific vulnerabilities of these populations. People with disabilities often face challenges during natural disasters like floods and hurricanes, making evacuation difficult. Research shows that disabled individuals are disproportionately affected by climate change. Without proper policies in place, their needs are often overlooked. Ignoring climate initiatives also means failing to address poverty within the disability community. Many disabled people live in low-income situations that make them more susceptible to climate impacts. The lack of focus on these issues can lead to increased harm and greater inequality, reinforcing the need for inclusive climate policies. Advocating for those initiatives is crucial for safeguarding the well-being of those with disabilities. Rights and representation. Disability rights and fair representation are crucial for ensuring that the voices of disabled individuals are heard in politics. The lack of support for these rights can lead to marginalization. It is vital to explore the significance of both understanding disability rights and the importance of fair representation in the political landscape. Understanding disability rights. Disability rights focus on ensuring equal opportunities and access for individuals with disabilities. This includes rights related to education, employment, health care, and public services. In the United States, the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, plays a key role in protecting these rights. However, policies can shift based on political leadership. It is important for voters to recognize which candidates will actively support and uphold disability rights. They need to consider candidates who advocate for comprehensive legislation that addresses barriers faced by disabled individuals. Candidates who dismiss these issues contribute to a cycle of neglect, undermining the rights of a significant portion of the population. The importance of fair representation. Fair representation involves ensuring that the needs and perspectives of individuals with disabilities are included in political discourse. Disabled individuals often face barriers that can prevent them from voting and engaging in politics. A significant gap exists between disabled voters and non-disabled voters. In 2020, a study showed a voting gap of 5.7 points, demonstrating the need for better advocacy. Electing representatives who prioritize disability issues can help bridge this gap. When representatives genuinely understand the challenges faced, they can work toward effective solutions. Promoting diversity in political representation ensures that important issues are not overlooked. It creates more inclusive policies and fosters a political environment where all voices are heard. Policy impacts on disabled people. Policies enacted can significantly shape the lives of disabled individuals. Key areas of concern include health care and social services, which directly affect their well-being and independence. Health care policies. Healthcare policy changes can greatly impact disabled individuals. During his time in office, Trump aimed to cut Medicaid, which provides essential services for many people with disabilities. The rollback of the Affordable Care Act, ACA, also posed a threat as it ensured protections for those with pre-existing conditions. Cuts to funding and changes in eligibility for Medicaid could limit access to vital health care services. For many, this could mean fewer options for chronic care, rehabilitation, and necessary medical treatments. Such decisions can leave disabled Americans vulnerable and without the support they need for a healthy life. Impact on social services. Social services are critical for the support of disabled individuals. Trump's administration proposed to eliminate programs that provide assistance for housing, transportation, and employment. These programs help disabled people live independently and participate in society. Moreover, changes to the Supplemental Security Income, SSI, program can limit financial support for those who depend on it. Restrictions could create additional hardships for those who are already struggling. With the potential loss of these essential services, disabled individuals could face increased isolation and dependency on family or other resources. And finally, here's another piece from the Disability Scoop. This one's entitled SSI Social Security Benefits to Rise by Michelle Diament. individuals with disabilities receiving Social Security and Supplemental Security Income benefits can expect to see more money next year. The Social Security Administration said Thursday that monthly payments will increase by 2.5% in 2025. The change is due to an annual automatic cost of living adjustment, or COLA, that's tied to inflation. With the increase, SSI will pay a maximum federal benefit of $967 per month to individuals, up from $943 this year. Couples will top out at $1,450 per month as opposed to $1,415. Actual payments could be higher because some states contribute extra. Social Security benefits and SSI payments will increase in 2025, helping tens of millions of people keep up with expenses, even as inflation has started to cool, said Martin O'Malley, Commissioner of Social Security. The nearly 7.5 million Americans who receive SSI payments, including many with disabilities, will see the new payment amounts take effect beginning December 30th. With Social Security following in January. The agency indicated that it will start notifying beneficiaries of their new benefit amounts by mail in early December. The information will also be available online to individuals with an account on the Social Security website. The notices will use a new simplified format that features plain language and provides exact dates and dollar amounts, as well as details about any deductions, all presented on one page, the Social Security Administration said. Over the last decade, COLA has averaged 2.6%, but the past 3 years have seen much more significant growth in benefits, 3.2% this year, 8.7% in 2023, and 5.9% in 2022, according to the agency. Well, that concludes our program. Thanks for tuning in to the Disability News. I'm John Curry, your volunteer reader.